This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Support for MPB comes from Trustmark, a financial partner for businesses throughout the South for 130 years. Trustmark offers a range of products and services designed to help small businesses efficiently manage finances. More info at Trustmark.com, member FDIC.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Money Talks. I'm Kevin Farrell here, and this hour we're going to be talking about getting to work in Mississippi. Dr. Nancy Lottridge Anderson, president of New Perspectives and Ryder Taft portfolio manager at New Perspectives, and I will talk with Adam Todd, director of the Governor's Job Fair Network, about tips for job seekers. But first, I'm with Sharon Person from Mississippi Public Broadcasting's Education Department, and we've got some big news to share. MPB is hosting a hiring event on November 20th. So, Sharon, give us an idea of what will be happening on the 20th.
November 20th, from 9 to 2 a.m., we'll have approximately 40 vendors here. There will be employers from very job-specific sectors as well as generic sectors that will be here. And we will also have some program enrollment available. So if you're looking to get enrolled in an online program or a community college, we'll have that available as well. Some help with resume writing and mock interviews if you need to brush up on those skills.
All right. So who is this aimed at? Who should attend the job event?
All job seekers are, able to come. In addition to that, we are focusing on five key industry sectors. Those sectors are manufacturing, energy, logistics, IT, and healthcare. So anybody with degrees or credentials in those fields are definitely welcome to come. We will have vendors that are here specifically hiring for that.
And you mentioned there's going to be a number of employers. Could you give us an example of some of the employers that will be there on the 20th?
Some of the participating employers include Golding Barge Line, Milwaukee Tools, Brown Bottling, Ingalls Shipbuilding. We also have some medical centers that will be here, like the Mississippi State Hospital, Anderson Regional Medical Center, the Mississippi Department of Education, Jackson Municipal Airport Authority, Dollar General, and the Federal Bureau of Prisons will be here as well.
All right. Now, when someone shows up here at MPB for this event, I know that we have a large area in the education department that you've got a lot of floor space there. If you could maybe give us a little idea of the logistics, how will things be set up and how will folks kind of navigate through the situation?
Well, when you first get to MPB, you'll be able to, we'll have some parking attendants. So we'll have some staff out there that make sure you know where to park. Come in through the front. There will be an information table. You'll get kind of a map, essentially, of where to go so that you'll know which vendors are located where. They're going to be scattered throughout the education department, and so they'll be grouped along different areas. We're having 40 vendors, so it's a lot of people that are going to be here, but we have it all mapped out, so you'll be able to come in. You'll see signage, so you'll know exactly where you want to go.
All right. And so if someone wants to attend, again, this is on the 20th here at MPB, what do they need to bring with them?
Definitely bring your resume. If you already have one, bring it. If you do not have one, we do have some vendors that will be on hand that can help you with your resume. If you need to print some resumes, bring your jump drive, thumb drive, however you want to do it, and we'll make sure you get some printed. We'll also have computer stations set up so that if there are employers here that need you to register online to apply for jobs, we'll have that available for you as well.
On Money Talks, we're talking to MPB's Sharon Person about a hiring event happening here at MPB on November 20th. Do folks, if they want to attend, need to register in advance?
Registration is not required, but it is recommended. If you would like to register for this event, you can go to our website at gettingtowork.mpbonline.org, and you will see a little ad at the top that says hiring event. Click here.
Okay. What time of day is it?
Starts at 9 a.m. and it goes through 2 p.m.
And where is MPB located?
MPB is located at 3825 Ridgewood Road, Jackson, Mississippi.
All right. And before we leave that, and we want to talk about some other things the education department does, but the other thing that you mentioned is program enrollment. What, give us an idea of what else, in addition to meeting with some of these employers, folks can do on the 20th.
So on the 20th, we will have some people here that can help you with your resumes. So if you don't have one or if you need one kind of fine-tuned, we can work on that. We also will have different online colleges and community colleges here. And if you're interested in enrolling in programs, they can get you signed up for that. We will have veteran support services here. So if you are a veteran and you need to bring your military experience in and let's translate that into a civilian job, we can do that that day as well.
So if someone maybe wanted to get some more, something better degree or something, or more credits toward a degree to help improve their job situation, they could enroll in those online classes at the event.
Absolutely.
All right. So as I mentioned, you know, this is just a small part of what the Education Department does. Why is the Education Department involved in getting Mississippians to work? Why do you think it's important?
Well, workforce development is just so important for our state and other states because right now we have more skilled jobs than we do skilled workers to fill those jobs in Mississippi. So it's really important for us to advocate for that, to put that information out there, to let people know where they can go to get these credentials, where they can go to get these two-year or less degrees and get really great jobs right here in the state of Mississippi.
And what other kind of tools besides the hiring event does MPB have for job seekers?
Some other resources that we have at MPB for job seekers is our website, gettingtowork.mpbonline.org. There you can see all the events that we host. You can also see the Governor's Job Fair Network job fairs that are out there. And then we have additional resources on there. And we worked with some students to create some soft skills videos. All of those videos are on our website. So you need to brush up on, you know, how to dress for success or how to plan to, you know, come in for an interview. Those resources are on our website.
Now, how important do you think those soft skills are? Because, you know, you have to have the information, a degree or the expertise, I guess, to do a job. But how important is presenting yourself when you go to a job interview?
That's extremely important. We traveled the state when we first started working on this project, and every employer that we talked to said soft skills are a big concern here. And it's not just young people. Sometimes it's those that have been in the job for a little while. So those are vitally important. People need to know how to dress and how to be on time and all those other soft skills.
All right. Thanks to Sharon Person for giving this information about the Getting to Work event. When Money Talks returns, we'll have our regular experts, Dr. Nancy Lotcher-Janderson and Ryder Taft, join the show. We'll hear an encore broadcast of a past program with guest Adam Todd, the director of the Governor's Job Fair Network. He's got tips for job seekers, questions to ask during an interview, and resume do's and don'ts. You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio.
Listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio.
Welcome back to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Kevin Farrell here with Nancy Lotcher-Janderson, president of New Perspectives, and Ryder Taft, portfolio manager at New Perspectives. They're also co-authors of the book Piggy Planet, Prudent Investors Get Going Young. We've got good news for job seekers today. There's a place that you can go to turn in your resume and interview for a position in an environment that fosters helpfulness and professionalism. The Governor's Job Fair Program is holding job fairs across the state. So today we're going to be talking to Adam Todd, director of the Job Fair Program. So good morning. Hope you're both doing well this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Any financial news in the news?
Well, we've gotten a couple of months' worth of housing data, and that's an area we've been watching because it's kind of starting to decline a little bit. And the second month also is showing that we're seeing some pullbacks in permits and new houses and existing home sales. So it could be a function of rising interest rates, but they're still very low. Or it could be just a matter of everybody that's already made a change in housing is already made a change in housing. And so there's not as much demand out there. But it's of concern because that drives so many other things. When we buy a new house, then we're going to buy new appliances and new furniture and all those other things that go with it.
So I was looking up some statistics on Mississippi employment as a little warm-up to today's talk. Some things. Nationally, unemployment's around, is right at, I think, 4%, and ticked up a little bit because, like we talked about last week, more people coming out of the kind of not even looking for jobs. Folks sitting on the couch not even looking for jobs have hopped into the labor force. So that caused it to tick up, but that's a good thing that more people are excited about work or looking for work. In Mississippi, we have a lot fewer people, percentage of the population actually even in the workforce. So that's a big thing. Even though our unemployment rate is 4.7, which is very, I think that might be the lowest it's ever been in Mississippi. I think I've heard that. But our percent of the population actually in the workforce or looking for work is only 53%.
Wow, that's low.
Is very low. I think you typically see 65% nationally.
Which has been declining because we have an aging population. And I think Mississippi has an older population than more other states around there.
So just a couple of things, ways you can think about people who aren't in the workforce. People who are retired, just totally out. I mean, you know, they're done. I mean, that's fine. And that's not a bad thing necessarily that you're not in the workforce. Folks who are stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads, people who are full-time caring for an adult but not getting paid for it. All sorts of things like that.
Do they count teenagers in that?
No. So this is working age population. So teenagers who, particularly college students who aren't working, are included in that, and they do specifically exclude people who are in jail. So that doesn't even include prison populations or anything.
But so maybe we have a smaller slice in the middle, 30s to 50s, younger with families, and so that may be the difference there.
That could be it. I think it's the main reason that folks in their kind of prime working years don't work is that they're being a stay-at-home parent. I mean, that's a really key thing, which, you know, is not to belittle the work that they do, but they just don't get counted in these statistics. I also have some more fun statistics about the largest employers in the state.
This is good.
So as you might expect, Nissan, our hugely touted employer, over 6,000 employees. This is from a study from Mississippi State. There's a lot of homegrown stuff. There's a lot of in North Mississippi. You have a lot of furniture manufacturers. There's a couple of homegrown things like Sanderson Farms, PV, things like that make the top 10 or 20 list. But the number two employer behind Nissan North America is a Domino's franchisee. Oh. So once you lock up the Domino's market, you're employing everybody. So if you're looking for a job, think pizza.
Is UMMC on that list?
No, so I'm not sure if they didn't include the state or not, because Mississippi does have a very high proportion of people employed by the state, 17%.
Actually, if you look at all government entities, we have the highest percentage of our population who works for some form of government.
Mm-hmm. So we are definitely a big government state with 17% of the population.
But don't tell anybody, right?
Working directly for the government, and another 8% working in education, healthcare, and social assistance. So those can be public or private, but vast majority of those working in education are going to be public school teachers, which is another. I mean, there are schools around you wherever you go, and they are always looking for teachers. They are always looking for help. It is not only a great place to find a job, but also get experience helping out in those schools. So that government and education is a huge part of our employment. I think they just excluded that. They only counted private employers on that other list.
We'll welcome into the program now our guest. It's Adam Todd, the Governor's Job Fair Program Director. Adam, thanks for being with us on our show this morning.
Hey, thank you so much, Kevin. Appreciate that.
First of all, if you would maybe give us a little history background, how long have the governor's job fairs been going on?
Well, actually, the governor's job fair network actually came from a military program that was started by the Department of the Army, trying to help military veterans transition into the workforce after their separation with the military. This actually became really institutionalized from the governor's office in 1993. The first job fair was conducted. For many years, there were just two job fairs conducted, and here we are today and doing roughly 30 events throughout the state of Mississippi.
That's amazing.
If someone attends one of the job fairs, who are the prospective employers? What sorts of people will be represented at these job fairs?
Just like one of your guests was saying earlier, every part of the state has different things to offer. Wherever you may be, the makeup of the general employers may be a little different. You know, when we have our events down on the Gulf Coast, we will have definitely more organizations that are geared towards shipbuilding and things of that nature. We've had NASA, CENIS, English shipbuilding, hospitals attend those events. You get closer to Jackson and North Mississippi, particularly North Mississippi, you'll have a lot of distribution centers. In my opinion, you know, DeSoto County is the distribution mecca of the world, in my opinion. Right now, we are seeing a lot of hospitality, sales, managerial positions. We have a lot of the health and wellness, nursing, CNAs, LPNs, those types of positions that are very, very frequent at all of the events where we attend. We try to make a good effort to have as an eclectic group of employers at every event where we put one of these on in every location throughout the state, so that hopefully anyone who walks in the door will be able to walk out with that opportunity to go to work.
So how do you go about recruiting the employers to be there? Do you just put the word out? And I guess because this seems not only an advantage for folks looking for a job, but this looks like this would be ideal for employers as well.
It's extremely ideal. I mean, if we tackle the job problem with a double-edged sword, the crux, the success of these events literally and truly comes from within the community within where they are held. The community involvement is very, very critical. You know, the Governor's Job Fair Network, we can bring in some state agencies and some statewide employers to these events, but it's very important for the local bodies that volunteer to serve on these committees all throughout the state to really get within their community and find those businesses that are hiring. So that's a large part of it, is the community involvement, actually getting involved in the recruiting process to bring those businesses to the job fair. We rely heavily on the local community to advertise the job fair to the local population. If we did not have the community support, we would not have successful events. The job fairs are really great for an individual seeking work because they are actually able to step up to a table and converse with someone who actually takes part in the hiring process. So you can put your best foot forward, a smile on your face, and go as far as you can with someone directly involved in that. And as far as a business is concerned, I mean, you are able to see someone other than just on a sheet of paper. And that goes a very far way for an individual trying to make hiring decisions.
We're visiting today on Money Talks with Adam Todd, the Governor's Job Fair Network Director. We're going to take a break. Throughout the hour, we're going to tell you about some upcoming job fairs. And after the break, we'll talk about some tips for job seekers attending a job fair. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a phone call this morning. The number is 1-877-MPB-RING. Our phone number is 1-877-672-7464. You can email the show, money@mpbonline.org. We'll be back with more after this.
Listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. The information presented on Money Talks is meant to provide general information about the topics discussed and is not necessarily the opinion of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. The information presented does not create any type of relationship between the hosts and guests and the listening audience. Please consult a financial advisor or any other qualified professional for guidance about your personal finance questions.
Welcome back to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Kevin Farrell here with Nancy Locker-Janderson, president of New Perspectives, and Ryder Taft, portfolio manager at New Perspectives. Today we're visiting with Adam Todd. He is the director of the Governor's Job Fair Program. We're going to be talking about the Job Fair Program and also ways to prepare if you're in the, looking for a job. So, Adam, before the break, I talked about that we might talk about some tips for job seekers. So these apply, obviously, not only for someone attending one of these job fairs, but in general, on any kind of job interview. What would you say are maybe the one or two most important things for job seekers to think about as they enter the job interview process?
First and foremost, have a positive attitude. I mean, that the general disposition that you carry whenever you are talking to someone who is directly involved in hiring has so much to do with it all. Make sure that you have a smile on your face. Please be as prepared as possible. You know, as you're coming to one of these job fairs, please go to our website, jobfairs.ms.gov. Take a direct look at the companies that will be at the job fair. You can kind of plan an attack, so to speak. You can begin doing your research on the companies that are there. Make sure that you have a resume on hand. If you do not have a resume on hand, please reach out to your local WIN Job Center. You can find a list of those at mdes.msi.gov. Give them a call. Show up. There are plenty of helping hands that can help an individual get a resume together very quickly. Dress is important. I'm not saying that a man needs to wear a suit or that a woman needs to wear their Sunday best, but be presentable. Make sure you have your shirt tucked in. Wear a belt. Don't wear a hat. Different employers know what they are looking for. Someone that is hiring for, say, the pipeline is not looking for someone to walk up in a suit, but they are wanting someone to be presentable. So those are the main things that I would focus on as you endeavor to walk into one of our events and walk around and try to get a job.
You mentioned sort of doing a little bit of research in advance. How important do you think it is for potential employees to know a little bit about the businesses that they're going to be talking to, again, at a job fair or any sort of job interview situation?
Well, I do think that it is very important. Someone is walking up to a booth that requires certain certifications to receive a job with that company, and that individual that is speaking to that business does not have those certifications. Well, that may let them know that they need to seek out another booth. One of the main things that we try to do at our events is make sure that we have our local colleges and or community colleges involved in the job fairs. That's why it's important for the local WIN Job Centers to be at one of these job fairs, because someone may actually not do their research and realize, hey, I really want this job. But then they see that there are certain credentials or certificates or training that they may lack to receive that job. Well, in that case, in that situation, an individual may be able to walk one aisle over and three booths down and speak with the WIN Job Center or the local community college and get ready and get signed up to receive those credentials and certifications right there on the spot. So no, that may not be a job for that individual, but that is a pathway to that job that was created right there on the spot.
You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Today we're visiting with Adam Todd, the director of the Governor's Job Fair Network, and we're talking about the job fair and the job interview process in general, looking for a job. So if someone you know or if you are looking for a job and need some more information about the job fair or just preparing for a job interview, you can give us a call. Now, Nancy, you're an employer. What would you say from your experience seeing so many job candidates maybe come through, what are some tips you would give someone who's looking for a job?
Well, the big thing is to make sure your resume looks nice and don't have spelling or grammatical errors on it. For many employers, they're just looking at a stack of paper on the front end, and they're trying to cull that list to come up with the people that they want to personally interview. So one spelling error can just toss out your resume and forget it. You're out. So it's very careful. It's an easy thing to do to get other eyes to look at your resume, because we have this thing that we do as humans where we look at something as if it were correct and we miss so many things along the way. So get other people to proofread.
And just one thing, I'd mention as well is kind of passion for the job and as be able to show that you can dedicate yourself to the job. If somebody, you know, showed me a resume and they had past experience in the area, you know, several different jobs, but they were all for just 2 months at a time, I'd want someone who can commit to a little bit longer. And any employer, unless they're specifically hiring for a very short-term project, is going to want somebody who is going to stick with them. Because hiring an employee and getting them up to speed is a time-consuming and an expensive process, no matter what field you're in. Being able to show that you can stick with a job, not only that you have stuck with jobs before, but why you can stick with this job, why you want to stick with this job. That's important too.
And don't hesitate to ask. I get emails, contacts all the time from people, former students, people I've run into along the way, just saying, hey, I'm looking. Do you know of any jobs? And you never know when one of those contacts will actually turn into a position because the timing is right.
On Money Talks this morning, we're visiting with Adam Todd, the director of the Governor's Job Fair Network and Program. So, Adam, we talked about some things. You talked about the positive attitude and presenting yourself well, be well-dressed. You've got your resume in hand. You've got your good positive attitude going. You show up at one of the Governor's Job Fairs. What do? Do you just it's on your own and you go to all the prospective employers you think you are a fit to? What's the logistics once someone gets there?
Very good question. Thanks for asking that. A lot is up to the individual that is attending. There will be a registration table that someone will ask someone to fill out a registration card just so we'll know how many people came through the doors that day. And at that point, that individual coming to the event will receive a brochure. Now, that brochure will have a listing of every business that is in attendance, along with the job openings that business promoted with us that they would be trying to hire for that day. So literally, we create the environment that is conducive for hiring, and we step back. And it is definitely up to that individual to go booth to booth, to speak to those businesses, to make the most out of your day. Don't just stop by one or two booths. Walk around the complete job fair to make sure that you have seen every business that is there, because more than likely, there will be a business there that you weren't anticipating being there that you definitely would want to speak with. So when you walk in, take advantage of the brochure that we have given you. There will be a listing, you know, depending on the size of the event, you will have booth numbers that are placed in the back of each booth, and those booth numbers are placed on that brochure that correlates with an app that will help an individual easily navigate themselves throughout that event for the day.
Adam, we look at the unemployment numbers and we say, my goodness, these are at record low levels, even here in Mississippi, where we are typically higher than the national average.
Yes.
But we're also hearing about this mismatch. And one of the mismatches is in skills, where you have employers who are looking for certain skills and they don't have potential employees who match those. What's our skill mismatch here in Mississippi?
We do need individuals with skills.
But what kind of skills? What typical skills are you seeing that are not available?
Right now, we are there CNC machinists, tack welders, ship fitters, pipe fitters. There are certain things within the medical field that are in high demand. You know, a lot of techs right now are in high demand. It's shocking, but to be quite honest with you, a big field that needs a lot of applicants right now is the over-the-road transportation, truck driving. There is a large population of individuals that are retiring in that specific field.
Yeah, and that's big nationwide, truck driver shortage.
It is. That's something that, hey, if you put in your dues, you can stay home longer. And you can do the things that you always wanted to do. And there's great money to be made in that industry. You know, our electrical linemen, there's a large population of individuals in that specific demographic that are getting ready to retire as well. And honestly, nursing, every event that we do, there is a severe need for RNs, LPNs, and things of that nature. So those are just a few of the things that we have found, you know, going throughout the state of Mississippi that are very, very hot items.
We've got a caller on the line, so we will invite Hannah from Tupelo into the conversation. Good morning, Hannah. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good. Okay, I had a question for you. I just wanted your thoughts and opinions from you and your guests. I work in homelessness outreach, and we're actually planning a job fair specifically for our homeless population because they have different barriers to employment than maybe other populations do. One being identification and documentation. They don't have reliable transportation. They do not have permanent housing, those kind of things. So I just wanted to know your idea and your thoughts and opinions on how would you reach that specific group of people and really anybody that might have barriers, additional barriers to employment.
Adam, any thoughts on that?
You know, there's an organization that is out there known as Families First. Mm-hmm. I would encourage any of those types of individuals who may need assistance to reach out to that organization and just see what there is that might be available. Having identification and things of that nature, yes, those are barriers. They definitely are. Business definitely wants to know that an individual is going to be able to get to work on time, and as was discussed earlier, be there for the long haul after the training and the hours and money is spent on putting that person in that situation and in that job. But I would definitely reach out to Families First. There are other multitude of organizations that can help. I know that there are organizations that are out there that someone can go to and get clothing for interview attire, things of that nature. If you could leave your information, I'll be more than happy to try to gather some of those resources and get those to you at a later date.
All right, Hannah, if you would, I'm going to put you back on hold. If you'd give your information to our producer, call screener, and we'll see if we can't hook you up with Adam that way.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
A big barrier is transportation. We don't mm-hmm. have public transportation here in Mississippi. It's a real problem if you live in a rural setting because you have to drive to get mm-hmm. to a job site. So I don't know if there's a way around that.
And that's an issue that came up. I remember when we talked about the Veterans Affairs, and there was a homeless veteran who called in. And there are, and you know, there's a lot of resources out there. You know, there are, you know, there's homeless shelters. There are organizations that might help take them to work. There are people who will help them get IDs. And there are people who can help dress them and train them for an interview. But the problem is, you know, if you're a homeless person who's never encountered these organizations before, you don't know. Pop over to your local library and start making some phone calls and organize your day like that. Bringing all those organizations together is really hard. So having, you know, someone like Hannah who may be helping coordinate some of those services can be such an immense help. And for someone like her with the resources to pull all of that together, it's not that difficult. But for someone who doesn't know about them, it's just the highest barrier in the world.
We are on Money Talks this morning visiting with Adam Todd, the director of the Governor's Job Fair Network. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to tell you where the Governor's Job Fair is coming to your part of the state. And also, in a job interview, you're asked a lot of questions, but what questions should you be asking? We'll be back with more after this.
Listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio.
Welcome back to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Kevin Farrell here with Nancy Lottridge Anderson, president of New Perspectives, and Ryder Taft, portfolio manager at New Perspectives. They're also co-authors of the book Piggy Planet, Prudent Investors Get Going Young. We're talking about the Governor's Job Fair today with Adam Todd, who's director of the Governor's Job Fair program.
Adam, is there a website where folks can go and find a listing of these job fairs, or do you post them on Facebook or other social media somewhere?
Oh, yes, we do. Please, if you are a business looking to attend, you can register. And if you are a job seeker looking to find an event to attend, please go to jobfairs.ms.gov. That's jobfairs.ms.gov.
So as I mentioned before the break, a job interview is a number of questions, and there are a lot of things that I think that job interviewees should be prepared to answer. We'll talk about that. But also, I think it's important for someone in the job interview process to have some questions for potential employers. Nancy, again, your thoughts on what you would like to hear from someone that's interviewing for a job.
Well, I want them to ask and be aware of what the responsibilities of the job will be. They should be curious about that. They should also be asking what are the possibilities for an advancement. That shows me that they are anxious to stay with my company and work their way up. What else can you think of, Ryder?
I always like to ask, you know, what does a day-to-day look like? Because you can read a job description all day long. You can read everything about a company. But if you have no idea what you're going to sit down and do on day one and day 100, you know, that's kind of weird. And it's good to get that. That helps you get comfortable with the job. But also for a lot of jobs, you know, if you know you have some limitations, maybe physical limitations, maybe things you're uncomfortable doing in a job, you know, maybe you don't want to just come out and say, I am not going to do this. But ask what sort of tasks you might be expected to do. And also, a good question is, if besides just what are the work hours, you know, am I going to be expected to work overtime very much? Maybe you don't want to work overtime because you got to get home. But maybe you're willing to work a lot of overtime to collect the extra paycheck. So maybe you want to look at that from both ways. And knowing how flexible that schedule is, what's it going to be like if you show up to work 10 minutes late? Or will you be able to do extra work if you come in half an hour early?
Adam, any thoughts on that? Questions that maybe the person being interviewed might want to pose to their potential employers?
Definitely find out what the work environment is. You find out the management style. Things have already been touched on that are very important and very key here. To add a few more, I mean, maybe ask how the position became available in the first place. You know, those are things that you may really want to know. Is this a position that come and goes, or is this a company that is really thriving at this point in time and is just needing to add these many more positions? If that's the case, ask them how long do they anticipate needing this? Are they going to be on the uptick for a long time, or is this just a temporary thing? Ask them what resources they have available to help you do your job and to do that job adequately. Especially in a job fair setting, the most important question to ask upon getting ready to leave that individual that you're talking to is to ask what the next step in the process may be. Mm-hmm. That way you have a little more knowledge of what is taking place. Again, just to stress the importance of an actual job fair, you are in a setting, you are in an environment where you can ask these questions, and it gives you just a little bit more leverage in your job-seeking process. I don't know if any of you have ever been in the situation before, but needing a job and desperately needing a job is a very tough situation to be in. And when you're able to speak to someone face-to-face as opposed to sitting down and sending resumes out through Indeed, Monster, whatever your preferred job search website would be, the worldwide abyss, you actually know that person has received your resume, that person has received your application, and you are talking to the person who will go back to their home office and print out that online application that you just completed. To mention one more thing, a great service through the Department of Employment Security is the fact that there is a Mobile Win Job Center for the agency. And that Mobile Win Job Center tries to come to as many of our events as possible. Nowadays, the day of a handwritten application is just about gone. But we try to have it as easy for someone looking for work as possible. They can leave that individual's booth, walk straight on to that Mobile Win Job Center, sit down at one of the dozen computers, have assistance there with someone helping them do their online application, print that out. You can then walk back to that individual that asked you to print it out and say, hey, you know, I wanted you to know that it's done. I appreciate you taking time with me today, and please let me know what our next steps are going to be.
You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. You know, Adam, I have a friend of mine who has a job but is trying to get a better job. And the advice I've given him is to actually, and I've heard this in other places and it seems kind of silly, but I think it's a good idea, to the night before you go to a job interview or maybe going to one of these job fairs, get in front of the mirror and actually say things about, I am a good worker, I have a good, you know, work ethic, those sorts of things, to talk about some of the things that you might be having to say about yourself to sell yourself to these employers. Is it a good idea to think to actually rehearse that and not just go over it in your mind, but actually come out and say it?
Absolutely. I know it may sound ridiculous for someone to do that, but there's a lot to be said for self-fulfilling prophecies, even biblical. I mean, you are what you say that you are. And being in front of a mirror, telling yourself that you will succeed in this endeavor, it will take an individual a very long way. Not only that, just speaking to yourself, looking at yourself in the mirror, checking your demeanor, making sure that hey, while you're looking at yourself in the mirror, make sure that you are presentable. If you wear a beard, make sure it's clean-shaven. Check, make sure your hair's cut. Make the little small nuances that you may not think of, you can really hone in while you are paying attention to yourself in that process. And it's just going to give you another leg up as you do actually speak to that person who takes part in the hiring process.
And I would say at this level of unemployment, very low, don't be afraid to put your name in for a job that you think, well, I don't really have those skills. Maybe I don't qualify. Because employers are happy to teach somebody the skills they will need if they have the right person, the person who they know will show up on time, who is enthusiastic, focused, willing to apply themselves, then that employer is happy to teach you what you need to know to do that job.
Yeah, and another thing about it being just low unemployment is you're competing with a lot of other people. Could be competing with a lot of other people. But when you're practicing, when you're going over the day before, also look at your resume and say, think about some key things from each job you've had in the past. Especially think about things that you enjoyed doing and that you really want to do again. You know, I was really good at this and, you know, I really grew a lot here. And also think about your non-work experience. You know, I was just thinking, if you were applying to a job in a school or a daycare, you know, talk about maybe, you know, maybe you volunteered at your church with a vacation Bible school, or maybe you helped watch people's kids during the sermon. There's non-work experience that does feed into your job, and that's very important. And just being able to recall that quickly is important, kind of in an on-the-spot interview. And so just practicing it the night before will help you recall it a lot more quickly.
This is Money Talks on MPB Think Radio, and today we're visiting with Adam Todd, director of the Governor's Job Fair Program. We need to take one final break. When we get back, we'll remind you of where some upcoming job fairs are being located, and also your resume lets prospective employers know about your background and experience. So after the break, we'll share some tips on how to make your resume stand out. This is Money Talks on MPB Think Radio.
Listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio.
Welcome back to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Kevin Farrell here with Nancy Lottridge Anderson, president of New Perspectives, and Ryder Taft, portfolio manager at New Perspectives. Today we're visiting with Adam Todd, who is the director of the Governor's Job Fair program. We've been talking about the Governor's Job Fair in addition to some tips and suggestions for people that are looking for a job, ways to present yourself and other things. So, Adam, we mentioned before the break the resume. We talked about it throughout the program. What would you say, again, or maybe a couple of tips on the top of your list for successful resume writing?
Well, first and foremost, you have to realize that this is you on a sheet of paper. You are selling yourself to an employer. Mm-hmm. And so if an employer sees you on that sheet of paper, you really want to maximize every one of your strengths, and you want to back that up. I think we said earlier, achievement is very important and critical in creating that resume. You want to make sure that if you have any certificates, if you have any awards, anything like that, this is your one chance to brag and not get in trouble for bragging. Use effective title whenever you create this. Make sure that you know the purpose of your resume. Now, to me, this is very important. You want to gear your resume towards the job that you are searching for. It may not be a bad idea to have maybe one, two, or three different versions of your resume depending on what areas you are seeking employment. Make the verbiage, make the achievements that you may have had throughout your career specific towards each industry that you are attempting to gain employment in. Just avoid any negativity. Explain your benefits and your skills in a way that can be understood by someone who may not even be in your industry. Make sure that you proofread your resume. Again, this is your snap chance at really being able to sell yourself on a sheet of paper. And you want to make sure that there aren't any grammatical mistakes. And also, please avoid any snapshots or headshots of yourself, any photos. Don't include any of those with your resume. I know that we've made strides in the movie industry here in Mississippi, but we need to keep that positive. Keep the photos off the resume and really promote yourself in the best way possible. If you're having a hard time, ask a friend. Ask your mother, ask your father. They brag about you all the time.
That is a good point. I was just doing this the other day, and it's, no, I'm not quitting, Nancy. No, don't worry. It's not for another job. But asking other people, you don't necessarily remember every big achievement or every, smaller achievement or other things you've had experience with. And my mother could probably remind me of a lot of, kind of skills that I'm not using necessarily every day in my job, but, or attributes that really make me stand out, because I don't necessarily know what makes me stand out, but other people who see me know what makes me stand out. And so that would really help.
We've got a caller on the line, so let's invite Audrey, who's called in from Memphis today. Good morning, Audrey. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks. I want to tell you that I certainly listen to MPB frequently, as well as listening to my local public radio station, and I really enjoy your programming.
Thank you. I wanted to
underscore a couple things that you said and offer some additional resources for job seekers. One of the things that one of the callers was saying was they were looking for was help with work clothing and those kinds of social services kinds of things. There is a nationwide number that's designated for call centers that have community information about community resources. It is available statewide in Mississippi, and the number is simply 211. Just like 911 for emergencies, you can call 211 for information about any kind of social services, whether it's a nonprofit, a faith-based organization, a government service, and they've got a wide range. Now, they're not caseworkers, so they're not going to provide direct service, but they can direct you to the agencies that can assist. And so that's a really, really useful resource. It's available statewide in Mississippi, operates out of Jackson. There is also, and I believe they're Monday through Friday, there is also a 211 call center out of the Memphis Public Library that's funded by United Way and by the City of Memphis that covers three counties in North Mississippi, DeSoto, Tate, and Tunica. So folks live in North Mississippi, if they call 211, they may get the 211 call center in Memphis, but the folks there can certainly help them as well. And there's a toll-free number for that, which is, I think it's 855-354-4211, but they can, there is a toll-free number for that. But 211 is available for folks to call for community services information. Also, you mentioned that sometimes people can go to the library to use a computer. The public library is a great free place to get all kinds of information and resources. They will often have classes on doing resumes. They often have job postings posted. So they're a really, really great resource. And even many small towns have public libraries. You don't have to live in a big city to have access
Audrey,
to that.
Audrey, we need to stop you there. We're pressed for time, just about out of time, but great information. Yes. Thanks, Audrey, for that call. That's going to wrap us up for today. Money Talks is a production of MPB Think Radio, funded in part by generous financial support from you, our listeners. So for Nancy Lottridge Anderson, Ryder Taft, and our guest Adam Todd, I'm Kevin Farrell. Inviting you to stay tuned. Up next at 10, it's In Legal. legal terms. We'll be back next Tuesday at 9 for another Money Talks, heard only on MPB Think Radio.
Support for MPB comes from Trustmark, a financial partner for businesses throughout the South for 130 years. Trustmark offers a range of products and services designed to help small businesses efficiently manage finances. More info at Trustmark.com, member FDIC.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.